Alright, we're recording. We're okay. Back. Right. And we're talking with Nikki Green. We've brought her in from the cold. And no, she wasn't.
We kinda kidnapped her
a little.
Yeah.
And
choice in the matter.
And we're talking about relationships and how you move on, I mean, after, you know, and we have the female's perspective right now, so yeah,
how do you move into on this. You see, the thing with me is that when it comes to relationships, that question can be so complicated because I think it depends on the level of intimacy that you had with your partner, and like also how long you were with them, you know, it's both.
True.
And there's so many degrees of that, like, you know, how intimate you were with them in a personal way, like, you know, emotionally, and then there's physically and a whole bunch of things. But like, in general, for me, I think I move on easiest and quickest when I have a lot of supportive friends around me, or at least one really, really supportive friend. To, you know, remind me that, you know, relationships, like romantic relationships, are not the be-all and end-all of life. There's so many other kind of relationships out there. And
what?
I don't think it's fair to focus on that and that alone.
Well.
So, yo, Nikki, you know, just all... Sometimes you just all come out of a relationship and you just lay down in your bed and you just keel over and say... I wish I could die right now.
Look here. No, as in, don't get me wrong from how I guess I'm coming off a little cold about it. But me personally, I will tell everybody about this. I am a stereotypical Pisces, and I am very emotional, and I am very, very concerned with relationships. You know, I put everything into a relationship, and when one ends, it takes my world over, don't get me wrong, but that doesn't mean that it has to stop there without that feeling of, well, this is fucked, you know. Well, wait, I can curse, right?
Yeah, sure. Yeah,
okay. I didn't check first. but yeah, no, it doesn't have to end with that emotion, you know, because regardless of how close you are with this person, there should be other people in your life that you can turn to and say, you know, I'm in a really, really bad place right now and I need your help.
Well, you know, I think for guys it's probably a little bit different because we're more likely to punch a wall than be like, oh, you know,
then come, I know this girl, somebody.
Yo, she I know, no, way, I, you know, star.
She broke my heart, yo.
My liver. Alright, here's the thing.
I get you.
But here's the thing, no. Like, you have them, a specific kind of friend. You have the friend who would just like rant on you and just bag on you for, you know, being emotional, or like if you say something like that. You know, let me tell you, you have for instance, you have two close friends, right? You have the one that will bag on you and just, you know, and just stomp on you for being all right, you're being a crybaby, shut the hell up and just chill. And then you have the one that will actually sit down and hear you out and, you know, give you feedback or whatever. So I think most of us have them two, like that two, those, well, that two category, you know, that
or
two
a balance or a mix,
or
a,
yeah, them. Or a balance or a mix, you know, like you'd probably get the tough love, like, yo, just suck it and just, and yeah, just suck it yourself, and then you get the,
I mean, honestly, if I had a friend, like, I have mixes, but like, if I had a friend who was just all, like, just emotionally available all the time and just, like, I'd be like, yo, dude, as in,
I don't think that's what I'm talking about. That's really not what, like, even girlfriends, like, you don't expect, I mean, I guess that's why mostly I have guy friends that I talk to on a regular basis, because when I have too many female friends around me, it can get to be too much, you know, like, in that direction, like,
also,
can
we just talk about something cool?
Yeah, no, you know, for real, no, it does. It does get like that. Like, I have a couple girlfriends who, whenever I don't go out with them much, like, and it's nothing personal, and I've told them this before, because so much of the conversation is like relationship conversation, and I'm like, I don't really want to talk about this with people other than, you know, my close friends. Like, I don't have a lot of advice for you if I'm not very close to you in that way. Like, I don't know how you want to deal with your relationship, so I really don't know what to tell you, so I don't know why you're telling me all of this. Can we, like, talk about something, like a movie that just came out the other day or something? Can we talk about anything else, please? But, you know,
True.
No, like I think, I think it depends on the friend. It's not like, you know, you're going to rely on every single friend that you have for it, and clearly it's not going to be a conversation that you're having all the time. It's just when you really need it.
That's definitely what I was saying. Cause you'd have that particular friend that you talk to about. Okay. About it, and then you'd have the rest. Like, you don't want to probably have that friend that you kind of start to forget about the whole situation and just wild out and just have fun and don't worry about none of that crap, you know?
What if you don't want to necessarily forget? What if you want to reconcile, not necessarily be back in the relationship, but you want to, you know, preserve? I mean, like, I can talk for myself. Like, you know, if I care about a person just because, you know, if things ended badly, I wouldn't necessarily would just want to cut them off, you see me? I would want to at least know that, yo, you know, we're cool, and, you know, I can be like, shout you up and say, yo, how you doing, and it not be awkward or anything. You know what I'm saying? How do you think? What's going on? No, why are we doing that? Don't do that. Yeah, so, so, I mean, how do you think you should go about that?
I mean, I feel like when it comes to reconcile, first of all, it depends on how you ended and how the relationship went, because I have more than one ex now that I just straight up don't talk to. Like, if I see them around, I'll say hi and stuff, but we just don't talk anymore because it doesn't make sense to try and reconcile that, because we cannot get along. And sometimes it's how people are, you know, you just clash whenever you try to get along with each other. So you can't reconcile that. But in other situations, you know, especially if you ended on a fairly mutual note, if the friendship was there throughout the relationship, you know, if you guys were very good friends before you got together, you know, a lot of things go into it. But in general, if you're on a fairly good level during and after the relationship ends, it's not that hard to reconcile and remain friends, you know?
Well, yeah.
Getting back together is, of course, a hell of a lot more complicated.
I honestly, like, for me, getting back together, I think, because, I mean, I've been in a situation where, you know, gotten back together, broken up, gotten back together. And I think there needs to be a period of rest. Because, I mean, people tend to have a different perspective, especially when they had a period where they can, you know, just be by themselves. And I think that period in between is necessary for any good to come of it, if it were to, you know, come back together. But, you know, I think it's kind of difficult sometimes. I mean, maybe this isn't the typical situation, but I know it's difficult sometimes when you have a guy who, or a girl who, like, you don't know why the relationship ended. I mean, say it was kind of semi-abusive, not necessarily physically, but, like, mentally. And, but even though, you know, it was abusive, like, you felt like there was a connection, and then when it ends, you probably don't necessarily know what to do. Because, I mean, you kind of been relying on it for so long that it's kind of hard to come to terms with it. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, what would you say to somebody in a situation like that?
You mean, all right, hold on, just give a little perspective. You mean kind of like comment, like, says, for instance, somebody who quit smoking cold turkey or something like that, you mean?
Yeah, but in if, like, the smoking was sex.
I think that's the point of having a metaphor, so you don't have to explain it.
That was like the reverse metaphor. First ever reverse metaphor, people.
That was special.
That was hilarious.
Special.
Okay.
Well, now that everyone understands our future.
Because clearly no one did before.
That was hilarious, dog.
I can't. I'm trying to gather myself to actually respond to the question, but I can't. I just can't. Why would you do that?
Listen, I needed to make sure everybody was on the same wave, alright?
I mean, no, as in, I was on the wave,
but I mean...
No, but there are people in the audience. Remember the invisible audience.
The only one who didn't understand what was going on.
The invisible audience. We need to make sure everybody...
Okay, my priest said you go too hard a while ago.
Yeah. I kind of regretting it a bit. But anyway,
let's press
on.
As far as feeling like you've been relying on it the whole time, I think a lot of people, myself included, you know, you tend to do this whole thing where, I'm going to make a pop culture reference here.
Okay.
You, any of you guys watch How I Met Your Mother?
Yeah,
occasionally.
Okay, you know, Lily and Marshall, the now married and have a baby couple of the show.
No, you spoiled it for me. Thanks.
Yeah. No, it's not spoiling it if it's been running for like 7 or 8 seasons.
I mean, but you know, I was building up to it.
The show has been on since we like entered high school. Get it together.
Yeah. Okay.
Get it together.
That's a long ass time. Avoid watching this show. What is wrong? I got married quite a few seasons ago.
Okay. All right. Go on through.
Anyway. If you watch the show, which I have in great detail, I've watched pretty much every episode, if not every single episode, they are like one like blob of a person. It's kind of scary how they're just together all the time with every point. They don't really argue. And when they do on the show, it's like a big deal. You know, you have your comedic moments and your dramatic moments. And whenever Lily and Marshall are arguing, you know it's serious because it's a dramatic moment and they treat it as such. And I think that's what people in general tend to do when you get into a serious relationship. You are no longer like a separate self. It's almost like you become part of them and they become part of you. And I think it's important to remember that for the relationship, it's not necessarily good for you and your identity personally because of the exact same reason that you just said. You know, when it ends, it becomes really, really hard to separate yourself now and become your own person again.
Yeah, you see, that's what I was saying earlier when I made the...
Yeah, we were talking about the exact same thing earlier.
Yeah, what I had said is that it's like two halves, and like, you're a half, and the other person's a half, and you're whole. But when that person leaves, they kind of take, they don't just take their half, but they kind of take, you know, a piece of you, as you know, so you're kind of left with less, you know?
That's exactly what it is, yeah.
And you need to be, what you say? What you're saying?
An entire whole. You need to be an entire whole on your own.
Yeah.
People need to kind of try to be an entire whole instead of being a half and needing another half. Just be a whole, you know, but on your own.
And then if anybody come on, them just add to the...
Yeah, they're just adding to it.
Exactly, they add to it rather than... Yeah.
Yeah, completing it, you know. Like,
but, I mean, like, that's easier said than done, though. I mean...
It is.
I mean, sometimes it's not even like an active thing where... You know, you depend on the person, but just over time, like, you spend so much time with an individual that when they come out of the equation, suddenly, you know, Saturday comes around and you usually do this thing with this person and the person not there anymore, you're like, whoa, you know, what did I do before?
You mean, what did we do before Facebook? Like, that kind of situation.
Exactly. What did we do before Facebook?
I was
trying to remember.
I was on MySpace and High Five.
Well, yeah. What did we do before cell phones?
What?
Anybody remember that?
I remember that because I don't use my cell phone very much. My cell phone will sit in a room for like a week and die and I will not notice. Like, I'm on the internet all the time. I don't notice life without the cell phone. I do notice life without the internet, though. If I go without a computer for like more than 2 days, I'm freaking out.
Yeah.
Doug, I agree. I so agree.
But how do you cut the addiction though? I mean, what? How do you go about you severing?
Something else to yeah, fill need, the.
Yeah, it's not, that's exactly what I said.
And it is easier said than done. I mean, in my case, when it comes to relationships, I tend to fill the void with friendships, which honestly, I'm not very good at maintaining in the first place. I'm very much somebody who's kind of solitary. So the friendships that I have, literally, I can only think of, like, off the top of my head, about three people that I talk to on a regular basis who are outside of my blood family. Mm. So, I mean, that's not to say that I don't have friends outside of that, but those are my friends, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, no, that's understandable.
Yeah. So, personally, when I'm trying to fill the void of, you know, I've just gone out of a relationship, somebody that I've been around like all the time, which is a very unusual thing for me, I spend that time that I would normally spend with my partner with a friend.
Mm.
And
yeah,
it helps me a lot. I mean, if I don't have friends there to fill that void, it gets a hell of a lot harder. And, you know, family can sometimes do it. Sometimes I just need to keep myself entertained, but it takes a lot longer to try and, you know, heal that wound if I don't have some real support there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
you know,
definitely.
It's like that saying that being single is cool until like no one's around. Like,
yeah,
when no one's around is when you remember, like, you start to everything
sucks
just kind of
being alone.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean. Yeah. I don't know. I think there's a difference between being alone and being lonely. Because
yeah,
when... I think there's like a grace period where... Well, a grace period. More like a torture period. Where when you first break up, being alone is the loneliest thing you can think of. You know?
It, if like you feel it physically.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
But I think after that time wears off, you know, being alone isn't really that bad anymore. It's like you can be by yourself now again because you're your person again. You are yourself again, so it's okay. But yeah no, for the first, I think for me it's usually like somewhere between a month and 3 months, depending on how long the relationship had gone on for.
Yeah.
And yeah, it can literally like physically feel painful.
Yeah, I've been through that, and I even found like this video. I remember this video I was telling them about earlier. This video I found about how to be alone, and you know, they're basically encouraging you to you know, fall in love with yourself. Basically, like you know, eat healthy, exercise,
you know,
and keep
you know,
a healthy regime.
I wish I had said that before awesome. Because it sounded very sad when you just said the title of the video and didn't give the explanation.
Yeah.
You know, I wish you gave the explanation. You know.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
I guess yeah. If you don't explain it, just more sounds like how to make sure that there's nobody in your space ever.
Yeah, how to keep it, how to stay
alone. How to stay alone. That sounds really bad.
All right, guys.
I don't know what's going on.
Why? Because
I don't know. Maybe I'm jaded. You see me? Maybe I'm a very jaded person. You see me? Because as far as I'm concerned, I mean, I'm going back to the video gamer. But I'm going back to the video gamer.
All right, go on, true.
Because as far as I'm concerned, you see me?
This is a reference that was made earlier that I'm not going to like miss out on.
No. I'm going to represent this thing. I was saying, Nikki. Maybe it's just because of my years of just playing video games, you see me?
Mm.
And just, you know, I was a bit of a late bloomer in high school. You get me? I wasn't one of those guys that was chasing women and stuff. You get me? So like, dude, when I started like preying girls in certain ways and all, I was like, it kind of feels like, you know, you go in a store and you buy a new video game, you get me? I mean, you see this video game online. I mean, you're checking this video game out, you get me? You're checking this thing out, so you're reading the reviews and you're like, yo, I want this game, you get me? And you save up and you gather your money together and you go to the store and you get that game, man. And depending on how it plays for like the first hour, you either fall in love with it or you're like, fuck it. But when you fall in love with that game, I mean, sure, you shouldn't lend it to anybody. You see me? You're not letting anybody else have it. You're not letting You know, isn't anybody else play it because you don't want to screw up. You don't want to screw up your profile or anything, you see me? Like, you're just doing your thing, you get me? And it's good and it's great and it's playing for you. And it's awesome, you get me? And then, like, depending on what happens, after a while you might encounter, like, a roadblock that you just really just... You just can't do it. Like, you reach to a boss and you just like, fuck this, you get me? Like, or I probably get boring. I probably get boring, you get me? I mean, we all know that. Like, and we just put that game down. We're like, screw it. Like, we really can't do this. Or you're playing it and you're just playing so well and you're like, ah, yes. And then you probably get to the end of the game and the game is done.
And then you think, to, like, start over and it just...
Yeah, you're like...
Like, it never gets old kind of thing.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're lucky, you might get like a Sly Cooper, which like never you can play Sly Cooper always, like for the rest of your life. As long as you have that game system, you can play that. I mean, if you're lucky, you might get that. But I mean, if you're unlucky, you might get like a, you might get like one of them games that just have like a ending, like, you know, like, I don't know, like something like Spyro or something. I don't know, Spyro is everlasting.
I don't know. No, but the thing for me is that the games that have an ending are the ones that I replay the most. Like, the ones that have a developed story. So I'm not sure if I can follow this.
We are talking about relationships
start
here.
Start to finish. But no, as in... I get where he was going. No,
really?
No, I get where you're going. I just...
It's really the only way how I can understand it. Like, honestly...
No.
Whenever I think about, like, certain relationships and things, I think about and I'm like, as in, honestly, as in, you get to a point where probably it gets severed, right? And you're going to think about it and you're going to say, all right, was I done with this thing? Like, was I like, done with this thing? No, I wasn't done with this thing, you see me? And I mean, I have a choice. I can save up again and, like, suppose something happened to my decision. I can save up again and probably try and, like, get by this game or like, I can try and work it out and work hard and try and, like, pass the level that I was on, but... I mean, dog, after a while, like, if I realize, like, it's just something I'm not going to pass, like, I'm just going to probably be like, alright, fuck it, this can't work for me anymore, you get me?
Like, no, but you know why this analogy just can't come through fully for me, though?
But I'm saying, I'm jaded, like, probably I'm just really jaded because...
No, let me tell you why, it's because this one statement is just distracting me, where you said, you know, if you have a really, really good game and you're so in love with it, you don't want to share it with anybody else, and I'm just like, but that's not me. That's not me at all. If I have a really good game or book or movie or anything, like, as soon as I find it and I start obsessing over it, I need to share it with the world. Everybody needs to see how awesome and amazing this is.
Yeah, I mean, I think that goes on to, like, personality, different people's personalities, because I mean, there are some guys who are just so protective of them girls. It's like them just, if they could lock them up in a tower and just, you see me, have some dragon thrown in.
I think that's actually happening though.
Yeah, that's it.
That does.
All right, guys. One thing I wanted to share with you. I found this really interesting post the other day, and it was saying some 25 things to do before you turn 25, and I think one of the most profound things that hit me, you guys were talking about family earlier, right? And you know, for some people, family isn't necessarily their first option, you see me? They'd much rather talk to friends or even strangers than talk to their family, because it's just too close to home. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? You just don't want. So this, the first thing on this list was saying, make peace with your parents, whether you finally recognize that they actually have your best interest in mind or you forgive them for being flawed human beings. You can't happily enter adulthood with that familial brand of resentment. And I was praying that thing.
That's way too true.
I was praying that thing, and I was like, you know, it's I don't know what happens, but there's just a point where it's like so much anger. There's and it's not even called for, but I don't know. But we need to look at it as, you know, every people are just people, you know, and whether you're, you know, 16 or 100, you know, it not much changes in terms of, you know, the human factor, you know, so we need to keep that in mind when we're dealing with whoever, whether it be your parents or, you know, your other half or you know.
Yeah.
Brothers, yeah, that's and sisters. Why I say always, you always kind of forgive people the benefit of the doubt. Like, everybody has a story, or they have something coming from us, the reason as to why they do certain things, or, you know, the certain actions that they do. There's something that happened to them.
Yeah.
Why they would do this particular thing or act out in this certain way. Like, everybody has something that has affected them to make them. I mean, people are a result of, you know, the life that they're like, you know, everything, every person they've meet, they've ever met, every situation they've ever been in, that's what makes a person. You know, that, so, I mean, we kind of have to free that, you know, we have to.
Yeah. And then, and on that note, maybe we should be wrapping up right now. So any last words from anybody?
Yeah, invite me back, please. Like, I'm really surprised that this is the first time I'm hearing about this, guys. What's up?
Well, I mean, this is like the fourth one. No, this is like the fifth one we're doing now. We've only posted like three up already, but this is the fifth one we recorded, so. But yeah.
Yeah, no, actual course. Last words would probably be that moving on is not nearly as hard as people, you know, like to believe that it is.
Mm.
You know, again, it's all about relationships outside the romance and about loving yourself first before you really focus on that romantic relationship. Yeah.
True. You, Matthew? Any last words?
I'd like to see. I don't share video games with anybody. No. I'm kidding. No, the reality is, I think for me personally, when I look at this whole idea of relationships, I mean, I'm the kind of person that really looks at things and, I mean, yeah, things are going to hurt you and things are going to make you feel a way and you might dwell on things a lot too, but I think when you put things in perspective all the time, you start relating things to a lot of abstract things like I do. I mean, I relate, whenever I'm in a situation, yeah, I try and relate two things, like even that video game, like I'll relate things together and I'll start to like look through them and analyze them in that context because it makes it easier for me to kind of relate it back. I mean, it's probably a weird thought process, but I mean, it's one of those things that I do, you know. So.
Alright, true. Alright, guys. Well, that's it for this podcast. We're here with Taj Francis, Matthew McCarthy, Ikem Smith, and Nikki Green joined us today. So till next time, boom bam.